गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोर्भयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्। संजय उवाच एवमुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोर्भयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्। संजय उवाच एवमुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोर्भयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्। संजय उवाच संजयस्य एवं तस् उक्ताः एड्रेस्ड ऋषिकेशः लॉर्ड कृष्ण गुडाकेशेन बाय अर्जुन भारत ओ डिसेंडेंट ऑफ भारत सेनयो ऑफ द आर्मीज उभयो बोथ मध्ये इन द मिडस्ट स्थापयित्वा प्लेसिंग रथ उत्तमम द फाइनेस्ट चैरियट। संजय सेड O descendant of Bharata, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Arjuna is referred to as Gudakesha. Gudaka means sleep, and one who conquers sleep is called Gudakesha. Sleep also means ignorance, so Arjuna conquered both sleep and ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. As a great devotee of Krishna, he could not forget Krishna even for a moment, because that is the nature of a devotee. Either in waking or in sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Thus, a devotee of Krishna can conquer both sleep and ignorance simply by thinking of Krishna constantly. This is called Krishna consciousness or samadhi. As Rishikesha, or the director of the senses, and mind of every living entity, Krishna could understand Arjuna's purpose in placing the chariot in the midst of the armies. Thus he did so and spoke as follows. So yesterday I actually did verse 23 but read out verse 24. So I read out verse 24 again today for your benefit, which is what I'm supposed to speak on today. In verse 23 we saw how let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. And in this way, we have Arjuna requesting Krishna to take the chariot right down in the middle of the battlefield so that he could look at the Kaurava army and the Pandava army in detail. So, in this verse, Sthapayitva Rathottamam has been used, which means he's requesting Krishna, my dear Krishna, please take this chariot and place this chariot in a particular position. So Arjuna is requesting Krishna to act in a particular way, and Krishna is immediately acting as Arjuna's servant in this particular instance, which is quite nice. Actually, all verses of Bhagavad Gita are very, very purifying. When we chant the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, they enter our hearts and it purifies our heart. This is very important. So we lay a lot of stress on chanting the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And as we chant the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, victory is assured for those who are chanting the Bhagavad Gita, those who are hearing Lord Krishna's transcendental verses spoken by him 5,000 years ago. Victory is 100% assured. Same way, because Krishna is with Arjuna, victory was already assured for the Pandavas. 100% victory assured for the Pandavas. And Arjuna was aware of this. In fact, when Duryodhan went and visited Krishna first, he expected to take over the entire Narayani Sena army of Krishna. That's what he wanted. And so as soon as he managed to get the Narayani Sena, he was very happy. Arjuna simply coveted only one thing. He wanted Krishna. Krishna said, Arjuna, I will not fight. On one side, I will not fight. But you can have me. And on the other side, one of you can have my Narayani Sena. So you can choose between me and the Sena, the army. So Arjuna got the first preference and immediately accepted Krishna. Krishna, I don't care about the Narayani Sena. I just want you on my side. Why? Because Arjuna was very clever. He knew that where Krishna is present, there's always opulence, there's always victory. And so Arjuna was very happy to simply be able to get Krishna. Meanwhile, Duryodhana, as soon as he received the Narayani Sena, he already put across in his mind, I'm already assured of victory. So he puffed his chest up and he was in that position thinking, oh Arjuna, you're such a fool. You took one Krishna and I have such a massive army of so many Akshonis. And not only that, I also went to the big Yadava called Kritavarma and I convinced him to be part of our army as well. So we have such big Maharathis, such big fighters in our team. So I'm already assured of victory. But the reality is, wherever Krishna is, wherever Arjuna is situated, there victory is assured. So this way, sinful personalities like Duryodhana, although they may be Kshatriyas or so-called kings, the amount of sinful activities that they perform or they conduct can create a lot of upheaval in this world. And that has been going on for thousands of years. Great big personalities and Rakshasas and Danavas like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupala, Dantavakra. Because they're kings, when they create trouble, then the upheaval is felt all over the world because they are the rulers of the state. Just imagine some random citizen in America taking a gun and going out to schools and shooting up some innocent children. It creates so much upheaval, and all the news agencies, all the news channels, they talk about it. And it goes on for days and days until that culprit is captured, and then the politicians get together and they talk about gun control and they talk about reform, they talk about passing resolutions, and eventually no solutions. That is the situation. And that is just an average citizen Joe picking up a gun and shooting a few innocent bystanders. But imagine the rulers of the state when they take up to Durbuddhi, like we mentioned yesterday, they take up to ruling with very less intelligence, then the amount of upheaval that they create is so intense that it can cause ripples amongst the entire state. All the citizens will feel it. And Yatha Raja, Tatha Praja, as the ruler of the state behaves, the citizens will also behave. So in India, we are talking about, oh, there's so much cheating going on, there's a price rise, and there is, people are simply trying to loot money from everybody. Why is that so? That's because the ruler of the state is practicing that philosophy. The ruler of the state was simply cheating. And so, that is felt all across the state and the citizens suffer in a big way. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that there was a very great king called Prithu. Now this Prithu Maharaj, he's like a Shaktavesha avatar of the Supreme Lord. He was very kind to the citizens. He was very, very kind and he was a perfect ruler of planet Earth. Actually, his name is Prithu, means one who takes care of the Earth, Prithvi. And therefore his name was Prithu. Now this Prithu Maharaj, he was the protector of the earth. He was not simply looting the citizens of the world. He was the protector of the world. And even if a poor person, by breaking the laws of the state, by violating the rules and regulations of the state, trampled on his head, he would still forgive them. Two words are used, akrama and akramat, in that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Akrama means creating a lot of crazy activities, evil activities, and akramat, simply trampling upon the other person. Even if these people, these citizens, end up trampling upon the head of the ruler, like Prithu Maharaj, he would forgive them very nicely. And he would simply worry about taking care of the citizens. That verse is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it reflects very nicely in terms of how Duryodhana thought. The word akramat, very, very nicely reflects in terms of Duryodhana's attitude to the Pandavas as well. Although it is explained Duryodhana was a very great administrator, very nice king for the welfare of the citizens, but his attitude of lobha or greed and envy to the Pandavas cost him, and therefore he became completely bewildered. And in today's day and age, this akramat word stands very firm, very resilient, because all the rulers of the state in today's day and age, they are simply trampling upon the citizens, and therefore the citizens are in complete chaos. So that is the citizen, that is the situation. The ruler of the state, or the king, is actually equated to a father in scriptures. The king is like a father, and the praja, or the citizens, are like his children. So the king has to take care of the praja just as he would take care of his child. But unfortunately, that king, who is meant to be Narapati, Narapati is actually a name of Krishna also. Pati means ruler or controller, and Nara means the living entities. But the king, who is a representative of Krishna, is known as Narapati, or the ruler or the controller of the citizens. He is also known as Nareshwara. Krishna is also known as Nareshwara. Nara once again means people, and Ishwara means controller. So the king is also known as Nareshwara. So this way, when they control all human beings, they do it in accordance with Vedic scriptures for the protection of the living entities, for the protection of the human beings. So if this doesn't happen and the rulers become dacoits in disguise, then there is a lot of burden on Mother Earth, so much burden on Mother Earth. And that's why in many instances, Mother Earth, she has to run to Lord Brahma, and then she goes and prays to Lord Brahma, please help me, I can't stand the sinful activities of these people anymore. They've become too powerful, so powerful, and they're completely creating a lot of chaos on planet Earth. So dear Brahma, please help. Then Brahma, he goes and meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the demigods, they go to the shores of the milk ocean, and there they chant and they pray. They pray the Purusha Sukta prayers. Om Sahasra Shesha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. Like that they chant very beautiful Purusha Sukta prayers. And then Lord Vishnu, he doesn't come personally, but he's Tere Brahma Hridaya Adikavaya Muhyanti Yatsuraya. He comes into the heart of Lord Brahma, and there he instructs Lord Brahma and tells him, my dear Brahma, I will come and I will vanquish these personalities, and I will redeem the earth of all those sinful activities. And then the Brahma comes and delivers this message to the demigods and lets them know that it is time that all the demigods also go to planet Earth and take birth there to associate and become associates of the Supreme Lord and help him in his pastime. So this way, this is going on. The planet Earth is so merciful, Bhumi Devi is so merciful, that she looks at us, looks at all the citizens and thinks these are very aggrieved personalities. Therefore, she allows us to dig the planet Earth. Aggrieved people dig the planet Earth, and therefore agriculture comes in. Because we are very aggrieved people, therefore planet Earth allows us to dig the earth, and therefore agriculture comes into formation. Now, of course, when you dig the Mother Earth, then she's put in some kind of difficulties, but she tolerates this kind of digging. But the moment we dig Mother Earth to put very long steel and metal pilings to create unnecessary skyscrapers, we dig Mother Earth to completely exhume the minerals, the materials like gold, silver, copper, iron, and we dig even deeper to remove the oil, we are completely violating the position of Mother Earth. So Mother Earth also reacts. She reacts immediately. She reacts by ways of earthquakes, tsunamis. So nature reacts because we, as citizens, do not protect her we do not adhere to the scriptures and we do not follow the rules and regulations of the material energy properly. When we exploit material energy, then the earth planet also reacts. When the earth planet reacts, then there is big chaos and the citizens also suffer in a big way. So this reaction can happen both physically and subtly. Physically, of course, we have earthquakes and we have tsunamis and all those disasters, natural disasters. And subtly, we have other reactions. Subtle reactions are quite intense too. For example, through subtle reactions, we have mental imbalances and we have issues with the government. They impose taxes on us, and when these taxes are imposed, then we tend to cheat because we want to somehow steal from the government and not give so much money to the government, which is already a cheating government. So this way, all the subtle upheavals also happen. And sometimes the subtle upheavals and the physical upheavals together bring about coups, C-O-U-P, coup, where one big army general comes up and he completely discards all the politicians, takes over the chair and says, I am the general, I am the ruler, I am the president, now you all have to listen to me. And then he imposes some kind of a military autocratic rule. And then once again the citizens suffer for many, many years. So, and some of them even attack temples. I've heard recently they attacked a temple on one side, the politicians, and then the same politicians on the other side, they come and they shed crocodile tears. Oh, your temple has been attacked, we are so sorry. The same politicians send goons to attack the temple, and on the other side of the coin, they go to the media and they shed crocodile tears. You've heard about crocodile tears, haven't you? The story goes that there's a crocodile and then there's a goat on the other side, and the goat is a bit afraid because there's a big crocodile standing out there. And then the crocodile says, it starts shedding tears. Oh my dear goat, you're standing under this hot sun and you're suffering. Please don't stand under that hot sun. Come near the banks of this river. You see this beautiful groves out here. You can stand underneath. Look at the lush green grass, and the water is lapping on that lush green grass. You can come and quench your thirst and eat that lush green grass. Oh my dear goat. And this way the crocodile sheds tears. And when the goat comes near, it's finished. The crocodile simply pounces upon it, drags it, kills it, eats it. So this is where the crocodile tears originate. The politicians of this world are simply shedding crocodile tears as of now. That is their game. Crocodile tears. But these techniques of the politicians, the modern day politicians, a Krishna conscious devotee can carefully understand that they're simply shedding crocodile tears. And a Krishna conscious devotee can cheat these politicians very nicely, simply by depending on Krishna and preaching Vedic culture very carefully and following the principles and regulations of Vedic culture. So when we can actually escape from the exploitation of these crocodiles. So the modern day politicians are the crocodiles. And in fact, in the Panchatantra, there's a very nice story about a crocodile and a monkey. There's a crocodile. Mr. Crocodile lives with Mrs. Crocodile in one remote part of the water body. And Mrs. Crocodile is a very demanding crocodile, very demanding. Mrs. Crocodile always wants everything on time, and Mrs. Crocodile always pushes her husband to extremes to make sure that all her demands are met. It sounds familiar. In Kali Yuga, that's the situation of a lot of people as well. Husbands and wives, they have this trouble normally, because there's a lot of demand, a lot of pressure, and somewhere or the other they crack because these demands can't be met. Srila Prabhupada says, when there is disturbance in sense gratification between a husband and wife, when there are impediments or obstacles in sense gratification between a husband and wife, then divorce happens. Prabhupada said this very specifically. Divorce happens. Therefore, within the Krishna consciousness movement, the entire aspect of married life is under the Varnashrama culture with Krishna in the center, so that instead of gratifying our senses, we gratify Krishna's senses, Rishikesha's senses, whose senses are complete. And when we have Krishna in the center and satisfy his senses, then where is the question of obstacles in the gratification of our own senses? That way the marriage will be very pure and it will go on following Varnashrama culture. Otherwise, Ramante Mahishanam, Mahisha means buffalo. Otherwise, we are equated to a buffalo in the water simply enjoying with the Mahishi. That is what we will become if we simply engross in sense gratification in married life. We have to simply engage in pleasing the senses of Krishna within married life. Then our marriage will be very successful. So this way, Mrs. Crocodile, she was completely controlling Mr. Crocodile. So Mr. Crocodile would go and hunt and forage for a lot of food. He'll kill a lot of other living entities and bring over these animals to Mrs. Crocodile. And Mrs. Crocodile would be very happy that way. Somehow or other, this crocodile ended up befriending a monkey on an island. So this monkey was very intelligent and it was very self-sufficient. Lots of bananas and a few other monkeys for company. But somehow or other, this monkey and this crocodile became friends. And this monkey was a very funny monkey. It would tell a lot of jokes to this crocodile, and this crocodile would burst out laughing all the time. But when the crocodile went to Mrs. Crocodile, he would keep that entire monkey episode a secret. He wouldn't tell Mrs. Crocodile about the monkey. But in due course of time, when the crocodile would remember some of the jokes that monkey had narrated, while eating his food with Mrs. Crocodile, he would end up laughing. And then Mrs. Crocodile would become very disturbed. Is he laughing at me? Am I not beautiful for him? And so she accosted him. Mr. Crocodile, you better tell me what the problem is. You have something in your mind. So she starts nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. Once the feminine counterpart gets doubts, then they have to be satiated. It has to be satisfied one way or the other. Otherwise, there will be pralaya within the family. There will be complete upheaval. They have to be satisfied one way or the other. Why? Because that particular body that the woman, this soul, the spirit soul, there is the spirit soul enters this body of a woman. Why? Because there is a particular condition involved. 9 times the lust, 9 times the lobha, 9 times, you know, everything is multiplied 9 times. When they come under this category, then the body of the woman is given to them. So this is a conditioning, this is a tendency. We are not accosting the woman principle directly. We are actually talking about the tattva, or the philosophy behind the body that they get. Similarly, manly tendencies are there. But all this manly tendency is associated with a manly body. But the real spirit soul is simply surrendered or serving Krishna. That is the only tendency of the spirit soul. But when we get conditioned, then the psychology that is attributed to the womanly tendency or the manly tendencies, that come into effect. And we are talking about that particular psychology. So when the 9 times the lust, 9 times anger, 9 times greed, 9 times lobha, all that comes across within that spirit soul, in that conditioning and environment, then you get that particular kind of a body, or a woman's body. So this way, Mrs. Crocodile constantly pushed Mr. Crocodile and said, you better tell me why you laugh now. And so the crocodile said, okay. He relented, I will tell you now. Then the crocodile said, on one condition, if I tell you, then you should not impose any rules and regulations or ask of me anything about that particular thing. Because he was thinking, oh, my friend, the poor monkey, I have to protect him somehow. Otherwise, if Mrs. Crocodile knows, finished, that's the end of the monkey. Next day, the monkey will be on our dinner table. Mr. Crocodile didn't want that because he was relishing the humor of that monkey and the association of that monkey. And so Mr. Crocodile said very reluctantly, I have befriended a monkey and he tells me these wonderful stories. Mrs. Crocodile thought,
monkey.
And then she started salivating, dribbling, because she wanted to taste the monkey now. Oh, you have befriended a monkey? Okay, okay. Then Mr. Crocodile says, no, stop there. Don't think about anything else. But then Mrs. Crocodile is Mrs. Crocodile. She cannot think of anything else but that now, only the monkey. So she constantly started harassing. She already started preparing her cookbooks, reading her cookbooks, to see how to make monkey dinner or monkey lunch. And then one day she decided, just as Kaikeyi sat alone in the room without her ornaments, you know, very sad, in a very desolate condition, and she completely compelled Maharaj Dasharatha to provide those boons so that she could get rid of Lord Ram. That way, Mrs. Crocodile went and sat alone. She started shedding more crocodile tears. And when Mr. Crocodile walked in, that's it. His heart melted. Oh, Mrs. Crocodile, why are you in this condition? Please, let me help you. And then Mrs. Crocodile said, you're not going to listen to me. That was the way she spoke. You're not going to listen to me. Mr. Crocodile said, no, I will listen to you. Please tell me. I have a desire to eat the heart of the monkey. Mr. Crocodile said, oh my God, here we go. She's finally desired for it. Mr. Crocodile tried to stop her. Please don't have that desire. He's my friend. You never listen to me, she said. But I have worked day and night for you. I'm working so hard. I even brought I fought with a lion and bought that lion's meat for you. I'm working day and night. I'm getting massive scars on my body because I'm fighting all these wild animals and bringing them for your benefit. But Mrs. Crocodile, she argues with him constantly and says, no, you just did that because that was your duty. But you don't love me because I've asked you this favor and you don't want to do it, therefore you don't love me. We see that reflected in the material world even now amongst different households. That is a constant story. Finally, Mr. Crocodile relented. He says, okay, I will bring the monkey to you. And so he goes very regretfully to the monkey. He says, my dear monkey, why don't you come to our house today? Mrs. Crocodile wants to meet you. Oh, the monkey thought, this is strange. Why does Mrs. Crocodile want to meet me? And this Mr. Crocodile doesn't sound so sincere in his voice for some reason. Let me try. Let me see what is going on. Mr. Crocodile says, no, 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 don't worry. Mrs. Crocodile is very chaste. She doesn't even leave her compartment. She doesn't even leave her part of the lake. She always lives there. She's a very chaste wife. She simply wants you to come. Why? Because I always narrate all the jokes that you tell me, and she's really, really enjoying those, and she wants to hear the jokes from your own mouth. The monkey thought, all right, something is really strange, but I think I'm a little bit more clever than this crocodile, so let me go along and see how we can work this out. I'll escape somehow. So he jumped on the crocodile's back, and then the crocodile started taking him over to Mrs. Crocodile. And then the monkey prodded a little bit more. My dear crocodile, you're taking a guest to your house, but I can see you're shedding tears. Once again, crocodile tears are being shed. Why are you doing that? Tell me the truth. And then the crocodile said, I'm sorry, my friend, but my wife, Mrs. Crocodile, she's a terrorist. She simply wants to eat your heart. And that's why I have to take you there now. Then the monkey realized, oh, mitra bheda, mitra bheda. There is no way that one can befriend another personality who is not in the same category as I am. That is known as mitra bheda. I am a monkey. I should only befriend monkeys. This is a crocodile. He should only befriend crocodiles. How can a monkey and a crocodile be a friend? After all, a crocodile eats other living entities. I am but a vegetarian. Mitra bheda, mitra bheda. Then the monkey decided, oh crocodile, I'm so sorry for you. Why? Because my heart is not within me. The crocodile was perplexed. Why is that? Oh, I'm a monkey. I jump up and down. So when I jump up and down, my heart also came out of my body. So it's somewhere up on the tree. So if your wife, Mrs. Crocodile, wanted to eat my heart, you should have told me before. Then I would have brought my heart along with me. So let's go back and I'll pick that heart and give it back to you. So this crocodile decided, okay, no problem. And he turned around, went back to the island. The monkey jumped, climbed to the tallest branch of the tree and then told the crocodile, my dear crocodile, how can my heart be away from me? After all, I'm alive because there's a heart within me. But we can never be friends. Today is the last day of our friendship. Because you were ready to take me to your wife so that you could consume me. So this is not appropriate. So these type of crocodile tears are being, you know, shed. So in the modern world, the government is acting like a crocodile. And all the citizens, they're suffering. But this suffering can be contained very nicely. How? Through the process of Krishna consciousness, through very strong preaching, through very strong preaching. See, somehow or other, if we constantly preach the glories of the Supreme Lord, we bring this Nama Sankirtan Yajna to the masses, at least if we make 50% of them devotees in this material world, then that 50% will not elect some corrupt politician. They will at least elect some pious personality. I'm not saying that we will have Prithu Maharaj-like conditions. I'm not saying we'll have Bharata Maharaj-like government right now. I'm not saying we'll have Yudhishthir Maharaj-like personalities as rulers of the state. But even that 10% comes across, then at least the rulers of the state can think, oh, cow protection is important. We should not consume animals, so let's impose vegetarianism. Like that, if the rulers impose these kind of laws, at least there'll be some element of peace on this earth. Then the effect of nature will not be so difficult on us. There'll be a lot of peace. So this way, this monkey business is going on. This crocodile business is going on. A king means he has to be so protective of his praja. He should treat us as his son. This Panchatantra has so many wonderful stories like that. It was narrated by a very intelligent person called Vishnu Sharma. This Vishnu Sharma, he narrated these stories to a young boy. Well, actually there was this king. And this king was a very wonderful king. He was very intelligent. But he had a son who was dim-witted. He had absolutely no intelligence. So the king was very sad about it. Because he was concerned, how is it possible that I am a king and I'm very intelligent and my own son is not so intelligent? He was wondering. And on top of that, astrologically, his son was supposed to become a very good king. So he was very confused. Then he was chastising the teachers, the Gurukul teachers. You're not teaching him properly. He's supposed to be intelligent because I'm intelligent, so he should also be intelligent. This is strange. This is a particular kind of vada that some people make, which is false. If you look at Hiranyakashipu, he was not intelligent because he wanted to kill Vishnu. So he wanted to perform tapasya to kill Vishnu. But look at his son. He was so intelligent. And look at Hiranyakashipu's father, Kashyapa Muni. He was also so intelligent. So it is not necessary in this material world that an intelligent person can have an intelligent son. It can be the other way around. So we have seen that in history. So this king somehow was deluded into thinking, I'm intelligent, so my son should also be intelligent. And this way he was giving a lot of trouble to the teachers, to the ministers. You're not teaching my son properly. So one day Vishnu Sharma came to the court and he said, my dear king, your son, I can train him. And within 6 months, he will become very intelligent. And the king was perplexed. He says, how is that possible? Oh, you don't worry about that. You simply send your son to me. And so this way, the king sent his son to Vishnu Sharma. And then 2 months later, the king came and spoke to his son, says, how are you? What are you doing here? Oh, I'm doing nothing. I'm simply listening to stories from Vishnu Sharma. He told me a nice story the other day about a crow that steals a pearl necklace from a queen, from a princess, and drops it inside the snake's hole. And the king was confused. What? You're listening to stories? Is that how you're going to become intelligent? this is very weird. He comes to Vishnu Sharma and says, my dear Vishnu Sharma, if you treat my son, you said you wanted half my kingdom. But if you don't treat my son, within these 6 months, I'm going to chop your head off. Vishnu Sharma said, don't worry, king. Just be ready. I'm going to come and take away half your kingdom in the next 4 months. 4 months later, what happens? Vishnu Sharma brings this young boy to the court. Right? And there are two personalities, citizens, waiting for the king to arrive. Why? Because they have a land tiff, a tiff related to some land. These are two brothers and they have a fight going on about land. Because one brother, he had cheated. He had taken that fence and gradually moved it an inch every day. Like that. And suddenly the other brother comes and says, oh, my land is so small, my young other brother has cheated me. So now they want justice. Recently we heard in Saharanpur, over land, there was some dispute. And then that dispute multiplied and then it became a communal riot of some kind. So that's what's happening here in the material world. Very dangerous place to be in. A piece of land, and there is so much fight over this piece of land because people identify with that piece of land. This is my land. This is my country. This is my home. And then they fight like dogs and cats. That's why Prabhupada calls this a cat and dog civilization. So these two brothers were fighting, and so they had come for a resolution to the king, but the king was not present yet. They suddenly saw the king's son. Vishnu Sharma asked the king's son, go and ascend the throne and resolve the dispute of these two people. But these two persons, they saw this young boy, they said, no, we don't want to bring our case to this young boy. We came to see the king. So Vishnu Sharma said, all right, don't worry, the king will come. So he called the boy, whispered something in his ear, and he said, you go and send the king. The boy left, and in his place, an old man came, very old man, and he sat down. And within 3 minutes, he resolved this case. Then both the brothers were happy, and they hugged each other, and they left, and they told everybody. Oh, when they saw the old man, they were wondering, who's this old man? It's not the king. Vishnu Sharma said, this is the king's father. He has come to resolve the case for you, because you didn't want the son to resolve the case. Both of them said, but the king's father is dead. He died 10 years ago. The king performed all the shraddh. We completely performed all the rituals. Then how come the king's father is here? Oh, don't worry. The king's father did not actually die. He is a mystic yogi, so he's present here. That way, anyway, he resolved the case, and they went all around the kingdom saying, the king's father is alive, and he resolved the case for us. And so this buzz reached the king's ears, and he came running. And he saw this old man sitting there who looked like his father, and he got a shock. I performed the last rites of my own father. I actually burned his body on the funeral pyre, and yet here he is. Is he a ghost? Then Vishnu Sharma told that old man to remove his costume, remove his beard, his makeup, and the king saw his own son out there, and he was stunned. And then Vishnu Sharma said, look, just by narrating these stories in the Panchatantra, your son has developed his intelligence. In 3 minutes, he has taken care of this case. You would have spent 6 days solving their case, but he spent only 3 minutes. That is the potency of the Panchatantra. And it's the same Vishnu Sharma who mentions this crocodile and the monkey story as well. So very potent stories. So the government of today do not take care of the welfare of the citizens. That is the biggest problem we are facing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Manda Sumanda Matayor Prayana Alpayusha Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge Janaha Manda Sumanda Matayor Manda Bhagya Hupadruta. So, in this age of Kali Yuga, the living entities will face a lot of trouble. As Kali Yuga advances, the amount of trouble that the living entities will face will multiply thousands and thousands fold. So, it's a very dangerous situation. The intelligence of the living entities will go on diminishing. Manda sumanda matayo. Not only manda, sumanda matayo. Even more. So, and then the height of the living entities will go on diminishing. People used to be very tall in the Mahabharata war time. It's explained Bhima was 18 feet tall. 18. Arjuna was around 12 or 13 feet tall. And it's explained Krishna was of medium height, about 10 feet. But all the warriors, the Maharathis, were 18 feet tall. So you can see the influence of Kali Yuga now. My forefathers were about 6-7 feet tall. But now as Kali Yuga advances, we can see people are going shorter and shorter and shorter. Till when it is Ghor Kali Yuga, it's explained, people will have meetings under sunflower bushes, which will look like trees for them. Under sunflower bushes, they will be so small. They will propagate children for consumption. That will be the situation of Ghor Kali Yuga. Such a horrible time. So the government, when they become thieves or dacoits in disguise, people will run away. People will run away. They will be so tired, they'll run away and hide in the hills. So this will go on, this crocodile and monkey story. Therefore, the only way we can stop this exploitation is simply by strongly preaching Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this world is not lacking anything except Krishna consciousness. This world has everything, but it doesn't have Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we must preach and preach and preach. Otherwise, Krishna is providing everything in this world for us. Everybody has food, unlimited food. Actually, that whole misconception that if there is a huge population, then we have limited food, that is all wrong. That is complete misconception. It's all false propaganda. As soon as the soul enters this Mahatattva, Krishna provides, even before the soul enters, Krishna provides enough food for the living entity until that living entity's liberation. That is Krishna's potency. He provides enough food even before the soul enters this material creation. Enough until it is liberated completely. Can you imagine? That is Krishna. Satyabhama wanted to test Krishna because Krishna says, I am the provider for everyone. For every living entity, I am the provider. And Satyabhama thought, oh, why is Krishna saying that? Krishna is saying, I provide for every living entity even before the living entity is born. This is very strange. So Satyabhama says, all right, let me test my Lord. Let me test him. So one day, he says, since Krishna is going out to provide for all the living entities, let me take this ant and put it inside this tiny little box. Then let's see how Krishna will provide food for that living entity, because that living entity will have no food. It will be inside that box. And Krishna doesn't know that I've put that ant in that box. So that day Krishna came even more late to his house. And Satyabhama was waiting, and Krishna didn't come. Where is he? Then Krishna came. And then Satyabhama was looking at him triumphantly, thinking, oh, Krishna doesn't know. I've stolen this ant and I've hidden it away. How is he going to provide food? Krishna, what were you doing today? Oh, I was providing food for all the living entities, Satyabhama, even for the ant that you have hidden in that small box. How did you know that I stole that ant and put it in the box, Krishna? This is definitely some kind of magic. You're trying to trick me. No, Satyabhama, I have provided food enough for 7 days for that ant in that box. And I put the food in there even before you put the ant in that box. How? Satyabhama was bewildered. How did you do that, my lord? Satyabhama, you're a Kshatriya woman. And as Kshatriya woman, all the Kshatriya women, what do? When they apply tilak and kumkum on their forehead, they put some rice. So when you took that box, I made sure that some grains of rice fell in that box first, then only you put that ant inside. So that ant has enough rice for the next 7 days. So don't worry, Satyabhama. Then Satyabhama understood. Krishna, you're not ordinary. You're extraordinary. I cannot understand you. The demigods cannot understand you. Great personalities like Brahma, Devatas, the Rishis, nobody can understand you. You are completely ununderstandable. So this is a very beautiful pastime in Vishnu Puran, known as Satyabhama Garvabhanga. In Vishnu Puran, this pastime occurs. Satyabhama Garvabhanga. So this way, Krishna is so merciful that he always takes care of the living entities so nicely. But look at us. Here we are shedding crocodile tears. and trying to take everything from everybody so that we can simply satisfy our senses. So like that, Duryodhana and all the Kauravas were trying to do. And that Arjuna wanted to see. And then he wanted to present that case to Krishna. Of course, then we know this wonderful pastime of the Mahabharata, what occurred after that. So this way, we have to simply assimilate Krishna consciousness in our lives. We have to very strongly preach to the masses. We have to completely remove this exploitation. How can we remove this exploitation? By preaching Krishna consciousness very strongly. How can we get rid of this cow killing? Simply by preaching Krishna consciousness very strongly. So this is actually our moral duty of every living entity, especially the duty of every living entity born in Bharatavarsha. They have to do only one thing. Indians, because they have such a wonderful opportunity of having been born in this country known as Bharatavarsha, they have to do only one activity, not ape the Western world in search of sense gratification. They must simply preach Krishna consciousness to the rest of the world. That is our duty, our moral obligation. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions? And if you have any comments or any clarifications or any corrections, please feel free to talk. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Mahagrantha Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande Harihan Bol.